Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the boy, Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Brand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal that addition to rappers that come and get them put on. We need a platform to fight the mainstream. This show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow up with it.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, and graphics, shadow and all. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Plenty of content for you to get through. Everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real.
We're
back up
all with you. We brought our beats, we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we show love to all your fans. Baby, keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm. Come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a madman, going crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's under grass society, it's usually just some lights off. Hip hop ain't dead, represent for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, still a mean, sitting on the hips. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. This a murder master, need to show. Free the homie gangsta, bro. I see these rappers on the streets. I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Welcome to Murder Master Music Show. This is episode 691. We got a special guest in the building tonight, Philadelphia's own Cassidy. You know what I'm saying? He's got a new project, you know what I'm saying, new music on deck. We got some music here tonight, man. How you doing, Cassidy? You holding up all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm beautiful, man, in the best shape of my life, man. I can't complain. Happy to be here. What's up with you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, no doubt, man. Yeah, oh, yeah, man. We're living in some crazy times for sure. You know what I'm saying? You busted a dope freestyle not too long ago about this, you know what I'm saying, coronavirus. You know, being that it's about a month later or so, man, what are your thoughts now on everything that's going on? And do you see anything in the future, you know, glimmer of hope for us?
I mean, we already lived through a bunch of pandemics already, and it already been a few viruses and things that's been going around for years before this that's been taking lives. It just ain't been publicized to have us in fear. So, I mean, I know it's a thing that we living through and we got to deal with it, but I don't feel like it's the end of the world and everybody should be panicking and living in fear. Because as long as it's been around, not that many people died. Like, more people die every day from just anything. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just more people die every day
than
died altogether from this corona pandemic. So it's definitely something serious, and it's affecting the people that's definitely dealing with issues prematurely to getting corona. But I don't feel like everybody should be living in fear and just panicking like it's the end of the world. We got to keep it moving.
Yeah, and for people, you know what I'm saying, like yourself, artists, you know what I'm saying, that, you know what I'm saying, go on tour and different things, you know what I'm saying, it really hits you hard as well. How bad has this affected you, and have you found other ways to do things online to kind of make up for the effects of all this?
Well, I've been an independent artist for the last 15 years. So I always been figuring out a way to be able to survive independently. I never really been relying on tours and show dates. That be a lot of artists that's behind the big machines, because a lot of people got to eat off of what they do. But I got a lot of streams of income, and I got residual income. So even if I'm asleep or I go on vacation or I just stopped working for the rest of my life, I still did enough already to be able to make income off the work I already put in. So I'm able to survive, but I'm rare, though. Everybody not like me, and a lot of people struggling because they can't go to work. They can't go out and hustle. They can't get to it. They can't mix and mingle. So the majority of the people is not like me. They don't got residual income, and they got to be out. So when I be speaking, I don't just be speaking for myself. I just be speaking for the people in general.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, man. know what I'm saying? A lot of our listeners, you know what I'm saying, here on the show, you know, we love, you know what I'm saying, gangster rap, of course. And we had Schoolie Dion, legendary artist, you know what I'm saying. Now, what was it like growing up in Philadelphia, you know what I'm saying, in that era, you know what I'm saying, as a kid, seeing that transpire, you know what I'm saying?
Well, Philadelphia was always strong in the culture. Always had big artists that was dope. So, me growing up in Philly, my whole childhood has always been dope artists around me. People getting busy and people going in. So, being in that environment, it will encourage you to get more in your job than if you grew up in a place where nobody really rapped and nobody really did it and there wasn't a lot of competition. So, growing up in an environment like that definitely played a part into the monster that I became.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? And plus, you know, Philly's always been about lyrics. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, you know, like you're talking mainstream or whatever. That's not even hip-hop to me, I don't believe. You know, it's almost like they're desecrating the foundation of hip-hop. You know, how do you combat that when the machine is behind that? What do you do to get the spotlight back on talent? You know what I'm saying? The elements.
I don't think... See, what people confuse is the culture with the business. It's a... Like... It's a rap business, and it's billions of dollars that's coming through. So when you're dealing with big business like that, it's a lot of people that's going to play their part in the business that's not really a part of the culture. They don't really understand the rules, the foundation. They don't really know what it's about. They're just trying to make a dollar. So when you got them people playing a part and them people really cutting the checks, then it's not always going to go in the direction of the culture. So the spotlight might not be on what the culture really appreciated at the time. But people tend to get confused. People think when they hear a song on the radio, it's just because everybody in the culture likes it. Or if a song is number one on the chart, it's because the most people in the world like it. And everybody that like rap like this song. And that's how they manipulate the fans. And that's why people tend to like support weaker music. You know what I mean? But the spotlight been on talent. You can't deny it. It's just like I'm gonna give you an analogy. It's just like with bud. It's like if people were smoking dirt and they constantly smoking dirt, like they might think that dirt is fire. They got different levels of dirt and they might say this dirt is more fire than this dirt and all of that. They gonna just keep smoking the dirt though until you come around with some super high grade. And once they experience it and smoke it, in the beginning, they might not even like it because it might get them too high. They might think it's crack or something. They might not understand it, and they might not really fully get it. But after a while, it's going to be in demand, and people not even going to want the dirt weed no more. And that's how music, real hip-hop heads that's going in and making quality music, they just got to be consistent and keep going because eventually – it's going to be like that, where they're going to start demanding that good weed, and only the people that got it is going to be able to sell it. And a lot of people going to have dirt, and that's when you're going to be able to capitalize off the work that you're putting in. You know what I'm saying? But at all times, like maybe in the 70s, everybody wasn't demanding high grade, hydro, and you know what I mean, sour, and kush, and rent, and all of these different things wasn't around back then. It was just smoking some regular and thought that was cool. You know what I mean? But now, if you try to bring that same regular around that they were smoking back then, you probably can't even sell it. So that's the analogy I give the people with this music. It goes in circles, and it's not always going to be watered down, and that's not always going to be in demand. And once the people that's cutting the checks see that money is back in the bars, then that's what they're going to support, and so start supporting again, and then you'll start seeing that be more in the limelight.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I remember, you know, in the 80s and 90s, they did what they could to try to silence hip-hop, you know what I mean? You had people like C. Dolores Tucker, Dionne Warwick, and them going at Ice-T, 2 Live, and all them, and they couldn't do it, you know what I'm saying? Hip-hop had a powerful message, but it almost looks like it was infiltrated and on some sabotage shit, to be honest. You know, did you kind of get that same kind of feeling yourself, or do you just think this generation just fucked up?
Everybody in this generation don't like the same thing. So it might be a percentage of people that like the watered-down music or don't understand hip-hop or don't understand where it came from. But it is some young people that do. You know what I mean? There's young people that might be 9, 10 years old that listen to me. There's some babies that listen to me. It's teenagers that listen to me. It's people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s that listen to me. It's like people of all ages. So everybody not in the same bag and everybody don't like the same thing. But just because the media and the powers that be pushing your face, what they want to push in your face, they make you think like that's all that matters. So people think like this is all that matters in the world, but that's not necessarily true. And with technology and all of these platforms that exist, you're not forced to listen to these watered-down dudes no more. Like, you could just easily just stream somebody else. Like, you're not even forced to listen to the radio no more. You could go right there, whatever you got. You got Apple Music, you got Tidal, you got Spotify, you're on YouTube. You could just push on anything you want and listen to what you want to listen to now. So you're about to see things change. People not going to just force themselves to listen to trash, especially when people making dope music like me. They're going to start clicking on what the better product is. And that's when you will start to see things change.
Real talk, real talk. Let's go to this track for the Elements, man, the Four Elements. Why don't you kind of break this down, the intro for us, Cassie?
Yeah, this is a track that I produced off my new project called Bars and Beats that I'm producing 100% of and writing 100% of. The reason why I called it the Four Elements is because I'm refreshing the dude's memories that's been around from the old times and back in the day. I'm refreshing their memory of how hip-hop used to feel. And then I'm schooling the new dudes that wasn't around on what hip-hop come from, the real rules, and the MCs and the people that played a part in my life to make me become the monster that I am now. So I just wanted to give people a breakdown, classes and session. Cass is the teacher, and I'm just schooling these dudes on hip-hop and the Four Elements and what it really means to be a hip-hop artist and not just a rapper in the business, like what we just was talking about. So this is the new record, The Four Elements. Let's get it.
It's all about hip-hop. Hip-hop. Culture the most people want to be in. Middle Eastern, Asian, African, European. I'm a boy that's intelligent, but know the four elements. DJ and dance, graffiti and MCing. But I've been seeing a lot of people that's uninformed and need to be enlightened like a thunderstorm. Cause hip-hop runs a storm and they change shit. First song they came with was Sugar Hill Gang shit. They got the game lit, but that group had a ghostwriter back then. And nowadays it's the same shit. A hip-hop. A hipper to the hipper, the movie, cinema. Y'all could remember the song. It was 10 minutes long when they spit it. But bars is my signature. Let's break down the literature. It was unique on Beat the Head Cat's rhyme. It was cool to use one syllable at that time. Throwback rhyme. Yo, I'm not sweet. And if a sucker cross me, he'll be 6 feet. Pete, sweet beat, one syllable. Spit that shit now when that shit sound pitiful. Cause in the early 80s and some riddles I heard, the best rappers started rhyming two syllable words. Like I'm the king of rock, there is none higher. Sucker MCs should call me sire. Higher, sire, see I'm not a liar. Ain't that two syllables, I'm trying to paint a visual. In Adidas attire, they were spitting fire. For you to be original, what the fans required. The lyricists, the only niggas I admire. Hearing dope lines, the only time I get inspired. And the subject that I'm addressing is a blessing. I spit scripture, these niggas singing to the choir. And prior, the niggas desire to wanna be whack. I tried to hold it down, and they tried to hold me back. We strapped, all the guns foreign that we packed. We clapped the stick, it be barking like tree sap. I felt like a gangster when I heard Ice-T rap. Ham Rock, Kim and G rap, what made me rap? I felt happy to be black when Chuck D rap. Hearing Lord Finesse punchlines, what made me snap? Kitten play, they made movies. I got to see that. Fresh Prince had a sitcom, that's TV rap. The Fat Boys Chubb rocking that heavy D-cat was the first dudes that made it cool to be fat. Melly Mel was the first to talk street rap. And Kumo D had balls, he used to eat cats. KRS was the one who used to teach cats. Kane name was verified, but he couldn't tweet that. The Ghetto Boys showed us how niggas in the street act. Tribe Called Quest had a different wave, unique rap. Each rap I heard from Slick Rick was slick shit. Chris Frost showed me that young niggas could get rich. LL showed me that you could rap and get chicks. And Pac showed me that anybody could get this. Roxanne, Shantae, Salt and Pepper, MC Light, and Queen Latifah, just a list of sick chicks. But shit switch, now it's a bunch of dipshits that don't know their history, so it's not a mystery that some critics be dissing me. But first do your research, or your opinion don't mean shit to me. Yo, realistically, Two Live Crew went to court and fought so that artists can talk explicitly. And all this was before 9-6, cause around that time I started seeing shit differently. Cause all the artists started to advance quickly, but I ain't think that they could think quick as me. Nah, so that was around the time when I picked the pin up. And they since then a nigga been up. I'm a star, since I'm in love with hip hop, I got my chin up. Cause ain't no telling where I'm gonna end up. It's time for bars.
Hip hop, hip hop, hip hop.
It's all about hip hop.
Talking about right there, that's some serious hip hop. Cassidy back on the show, you know what I'm saying, the Four Elements. Now when is your new project dropping, Cassidy?
Any day now. I'm finishing it up. I got plenty of records done, probably enough for the project already, but I'm always cooking. I'm actually in the studio in the next couple of hours, about to put some more work in. So I don't want to put a date on it. And nowadays, in this day and age, it's not good to set a date and promote like that. Sometimes it do better when people least expect it. But just know it's coming real soon.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely, man.
And I got music on all platforms as we speak from off of the project. I've been dropping new music, so it's a lot of new singles. All you got to do is Google my name on any platform, YouTube, whatever you're using, and the new music will come up. And I'm dropping new singles every week until the project comes. So in the meantime, in between time, you're still going to get a bunch of new music, and then when the project comes, I'm just going to hit them over the head.
What would you say is the biggest challenge from when you started to now, or the biggest difference, you know what I'm saying, that you've seen?
I guess it's the same, man. It's just similar. I mean, ain't really too much change. I mean, it is other ways to make money because technology, and there's different ways to make money, but there's less record labels cutting checks and opening up budgets. So it's more independent grind. So it is harder to get bags. So I don't know. That's a hard question. I guess it depends on the artist, the team they got, the information that you got, and the product that you're putting out. It all depends on every situation. It's not like all the same for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now you're seeing a lot of, you know what I'm saying, a lot of these, you know, like Premiere and people doing battles and things like that during this whole thing. Have you thought about doing something like that?
Well, I mean, I run battle rap. That's what I do. I've been battle rapping since the beginning, making battle rap popular. But I really battle, like, with real bars, and I get busy, and I bite rappers' heads off like that. But they just started this versus stuff, and I'm a fan of it. I like watching it, but that's not really, you know, the bag I be in.
Yeah, you're more hands-on, right in the flesh, yeah.
Yeah, because that's not really like a battle to me, like, because we already know the songs, they already been out. So it's like really like for the fans to enjoy. And you know what I mean? Sometimes you might not realize all of the body of work that certain people that's on the Versus stuff is, you know what I mean, that they put in. So it'd be good to see for the fans, but it's not necessarily a battle because they already made the music, and a lot of it be, most of the music be over 10 years old. So it's like, it's not really a battle to me, but it is entertaining though.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. You know, for cats, you know what I'm saying, listening that, you know, a lot of people that listen to the show are into rap themselves or whatever, even battle rap. How do you mentally prepare yourself to be a battle rapper, to be able to spontaneously just have that type of wit to combat what other cats are throwing at you, man? How do you do that, Cassidy?
To add on to the last question you asked me, too, everybody that's listening, y'all could pull up the song Face to Face that I put out. I did a video to it, too. And this was years and years ago, and I was talking about all of these industry people that I like to see at it. Seeping it now and the Versus thing coming together. This was an idea that I've been talking about since the beginning of time. I've been telling these entertainers that they'd be more competitive and go at each other. So to actually see it coming to light now is a good thing. It's hard to explain how I'm able to do it. There's no real formula that, you know, somebody else could follow and think.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. I've been on it for over 10 years, and then the day off for them 20 years. So, and I got a lot of God-given talent. Like, even when I first started on it the first day, I was already nice. So after already having God-given talent, being already nice and putting in 20 years of work, that's how I'm able to do it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely a lot of talent, man. If there's anybody that you haven't battled over the years that you'd like to, who would that be?
I'm always in battle mode. Every time I make a song, I'm in battle mode. I'm always be competitive with everybody that consider themselves to do what I do. So I don't got no beef with nobody, or it's nobody that I'm a fan of and just would like to battle them like that. But anybody could get it at any given time. That's why I'm always on my job.
Yeah, that's a true battle MC right there. You know what I'm saying? Ready to go at any time. You ever listen to the music of K. Reno out of Houston, Texas? You ever hear of him?
I'm not sure, but it don't sound too familiar.
Yeah, I have to send some your way, man. He's been doing it for a long time, but he's very, very lyrical, you know what I'm saying? And he speaks very conscious, you know, his material is all about just real shit that's going on, you know. But there's a lot of artists out there, you know what I'm saying, like that got that type of talent, you know what I'm saying? And you know, they just need the platforms, you know. You ever thought about doing, like, a podcast or something like that, or...?
Yeah, that's something I got in the works that I'm putting together. It's coming soon.
I remember reading years ago you were in a coma after a car accident. Did you take anything from that, like when you woke up? I mean, were you seeing anything when you were in that state, or?
Nah, I wasn't seeing nothing at all. Just like when you go to sleep and you don't have a dream and then you wake back up. And you don't just remember anything from being asleep. It's just like you just know you were asleep and you woke back up. That's how I felt.
Wow. And how long were you in a coma for?
I think about 9 days.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Seven to nine days, something like that.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, this was, you know what I'm saying, years ago. You definitely have lived a life and overcome a lot. You know what I'm saying? You ever plan on doing, like, a book or documentary, anything like that?
For sure. Both of them, the book and the documentary, is in the works as we speak.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a feeling, man. I had a feeling. Well, Cassie, I really appreciate you. Before I let you go, I got the homie from France wants to ask you a question. Sin, Sin, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hi, hi, Scott. Hi, Cassidy.
Yeah. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. Can you tell us about your back in the day, your first group, very first group, called Last in the Family, when you was with Karl Akbar and She's Lanky in
yeah.
Philly, way back?
Well, Karl Akbar and She's Lanky, we were real good friends. They were from my neighborhood that I was staying in, Uptown. We all lived in the same neighborhood, so we would, like, go over each other raps, and we all knew each other raps because we used to rap with each other damn near every day. So when I got it popping, I started buzzing off this radio show in Philly. It was a cipher where I used to battle on a radio, and I started winning, and I became the champion. And I won so much that they made me a radio personality. So that's how I started getting popular in the city. And then executives and people from record labels started coming to the city looking for me. I ran into Swizz Beatzfather, TD, Terrence Dean. And that was my manager when I first got signed, Swizzfather. But he the one that brought me to Rough Riders. He told me to come out to New York. And when I came out to New York, I brought Shiz and Akbar with me. And we had a little meeting down before we went to go meet Y. He was the CEO of Rough Riders at the time. So before we went to go meet them, I told Shiz and Akbar that y'all know my rhymes. I know y'all rhymes. Even though we're not a group, they don't know that. So we could just go in there and act like we're a group, and maybe they'll sign us as a group, or maybe they might just like one of us, but you never know. So let's go try it like that. So we all went in there and we started acting like we was a group, backing each other up, and they loved it, and they thought we was a group. So after we came out the meeting, we came downstairs, and that's when we came up with the name Larceny. So that's how we started being Larceny Family right after that. So we just formed the group actually at the Rough Riders meeting. But we was never a group before that. We was just friends. But on Ride or Die Volume 2, we on that project, and we put a lot of music out after that. And they still my friends to this day. We still talk to each other, call each other to this day. So, you know, that's my clique, Larceny Family, and that's how it all started.
Okay, right. Can you tell us also about your roots and how rappers like Kool C and Steady B get an impact on Philly and maybe on your inspiration? Back in the day, you got Scooty D, you got Kool C, you got old school stuff.
Yeah, them dudes definitely inspired me. You know, Kool C, ooh, you got it.
Yes, sir.
It's like hit records,
sure.
You know, Study being them dudes. They came a little bit before my time. I mean, when they was really popping,
yeah.
I was super young. Like, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't really outside or moving around or rapping yet. So they was a little bit before my time, but I grew up. I was born a fan of rap, like, you know what I mean? My first day, I was listening to rap music, my mom and my pop rap. So I was always a fan of rap music and knew what they was doing in the city. So they did play a part in me, you know what I'm saying, wanting to become a rapper. And when I did become a rapper, I backtracked and I started to listen to their music even deeper, listen to their lyrics and how they paved the way and started to study. So they definitely impacted, you know, the dude that I am. And then the accent that we got, the way that we talk, the slang we use, and the things that we've seen is different from if we grew up in other places, so that play a part as well.
Yeah. Life is a ghetto of course, it was insane.
For sure.
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah, man. It's a global, hip-hop's a global phenomenon, man. And, you know what I'm saying? Thanks for calling in, Sin. And Cassidy, thank
yes,
you for calling in for this interview. I really appreciate you. Before we get out of here, brother, please give them all the info, man. You know, album coming out, your platforms, it's all yours, man.
Yeah, the new album coming out is called Bars and Beats. I'm working on it now, but I got new music on all platforms. The last project I dropped is called Numbers, and it's on all platforms. It's a crazy, crazy project. So if you haven't checked it out, go check it out. I got new videos all around, so go check out my latest video called Another Plan. It's buzzing in the street right now. And then everybody that's listening, go to my webpage so you can get my merchandise. All my bars is back gear, from snapbacks to dad hats, jackets, hoodies, sweatshirts, t-shirts. We got it all. So go check it out at www.cassidythehustler.com. And it's CassidyHustler, CassidyTheHustler.com. So go to the webpage and check out the merchandise. And on social media, I'm Cassidy_Larceny. That's LARSINY. I got the blue check. I'm verified. And if you want to do business, if you're trying to book a show or you're trying to book a feature or something like that, you could get with me at shitlitty@gmail. SHITLITTY@gmail.
Man, that's what's up. Take care of yourself, Cassie. We're going to get out of here with, you know what I'm saying, it's a wrap. Why don't you go into the song as we leave, brother?
Yes, sir. This is one of my new bangers. It's called It's a Wrap. Nothing but bars, man. Bars is back. Salute.
This is an attack warning. This is an attack warning. Protective action should be taken.
These rap cats on a lot of bluffing, acting like they got it hustling and they trapping, but they ratting, giving cop instructions. Some dudes will shoot a shot for nothing, and not for nothing, anybody could get body when them choppers busting. I got a cousin who will air your ass. I be bugging, hey, Tommy head blast, you a ham laugh. Yeah, he think of shooting, amusing. The school of hard knocks got confusing, he barely passed. Be scared of cats, if I wear a mask, you won't have to rock a colostomy. A bitch supposed to wear a bag. Yo, wear your bitch, I could clearly smash. I'ma tear an asshole open and get throat until I hear a gag. Is you prepared to wear a tag on your toe in the morgue and have a combo with the lawyer? Yo, I hope you insured, cause how your folks supposed to afford your funeral? Dude, if you a rat, that reputation could ruin you. But soon as you go to jail, what you do, go and tell, and drop a dime to exit Roman numeral. See, I keep it a bean, I hope I'm not confusing you. Whoever singing gets seen shot, but it's not a musical. What dudes choose to do is claim I'm delusional, but dudes be accusing you of shit they can't prove is true. I keep it hair by my pubic too, and I use it too. Fire at your grill, Freddy Krueger you. You can find out what the Ruger do. When I shoot at you, it go close range, get your doobie blue. You probably take it in your booty zoo. Fruity how you come across, dog, cause you soft dog Scooby Doo. I rap but act in movies too. I Netflix and chill with a chick. I'm a hipper for the movie through. This little chick was acting bougie cause her booty grew. When her boobies knew she a cutie, but what that coochie do? Some stuff I used to do, I retire from. Your guns never put in no work, but I'll fire one. Cause I'm the boss, all y'all get inspired from. If you smoke it, I probably sold it to who you buy it from. I trap, sold more packs than Trident gum. Dumb icy with a beater under the white tee. It's like ain't shit in life free. If you buy a gat, take a life and can't go free. Don't decide to rap, cause you gon' have to testify for that. And then you gotta do your time in prison in a 6-9 position. When time is ticking, they sing for cops trying to listen. Snitching, hit a note. Book, no composition. Listen, it's get chicken time when my palm is itching. So have my chicken on time for our palm is sniffing. I heard your baby mama Regina itching. You popping chicks that need to see the gynecologist. I got a list, a whole lot of chicks that I was blessed to pop. I guess I got Godfather dick. You about to get choked out, get your collar grip. I squeeze your neck, you gon' be breathless, yo, when I let you go. So I feel like I should let you know it's best you breathe easy. You only got a couple breaths left to blow. The Rough Riders, I'm connected, so yo, a sexy hoe, stay in my DM, I'm exceptional. Yo, you can hang from the tree where my breakfast grow, or you can kiss what I'm hugging, no X and no. It's Specs, no, my connect is out Mexico. He speaks Spanish, it get translated when he texted, though. We met in El Paso, Texas, yo. Though can't buy my respect, but I'm respected, though. Question, bro, did you catch your whole butt naked, yo? Giving another man head on your damn bed?
Yes or no?
I had a hitter hit my phone up. And when I picked my phone up, he said that man's dead. I said you done enough and hung it up. And that was that. After that, he never brung it up. Run it up. Get gunned down when the gun is up. Shoot you in your chest, make your face and your stomach touch. Yeah. You either die or you paralyzed from the waist down and pain from your stomach up. Y'all straight clowns, no cap. Y'all dumb as fuck. If y'all think this ain't a dope rap, then go back. And note that a lot of funerals is coming up. Y'all boys ain't.